Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and thank you so much for joining me tonight or downloading later. I have a really information-packed show for you. So I'm going to jump right in and get started. And I'm going to try to cover as much as I can. And actually, before I do that, I just want to say that I found out today that my kitty cat is very sick, so if anyone can send up prayers, that would be greatly appreciated. So, did that, so I would appreciate that. Okay, so this morning, I was sitting in meditation and had a really good meditation, had an extra long meditation, and so I was sitting in silence, and then, you know, I just asked the question because, you know, we are on this abundance journey, and, you know, it's all about figuring out how to get there. You know, what is it all about? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What do we want? Why do we want it? All those different pieces, right? So, you know, we're on that journey, and so I've talked about the journaling, the meditation, and really diving deep into looking at, you know, what is it that you believe, what's blocking you, those kinds of things. And so in my meditation this morning, when I was being very open and very honest, what came up for me is I don't like security. And that really caught me by surprise. It was very random, but that was the phrase, very plain, very clear, I don't like security, that came up in my mind. And when I say security, it's referring to financial security. And I know that makes absolutely no sense. So that's why I had to really question it. So I finished my meditation and I started journaling. So, you know, why would I not like security? And I started to realize that for me, I'm not really sure what that is supposed to look and feel like. I know how my flow of money works. You know, money comes in, money goes out, and it's always a constant flow, and money always is a constant flow. But I'm not really sure what that's supposed to look and feel like. And so maybe that's, you know, your case. What does financial security really look like? Because the majority of examples that I'm shown is, you know, people are either extremely abundant, extremely wealthy, or, you know, I see people who are struggling paycheck to paycheck, you know, that kind of situation, never have enough money. And so as far as the in-between, you don't see very much of the in-between. So like in where I work, I know that I often hear coworkers talking about money, and it's the same story. They never have enough, or they have to pay this bill, or this thing comes up, or that thing comes up, and they weren't expecting it. They weren't prepared for it. Those kinds of things. So, you know, it's like, where is that example? You know, what is it supposed to look like? And so when I realized, you know, I wasn't really sure, I started to go deeper and say, well, you know, what is keeping me from building what I believe to be financial security, and what do I believe that to be? So I dove in deeper, asking the questions, which is, you know, what you have to do if you really want to bust through the blocks, change your life, that kind of thing. You really have to keep going deeper and deeper. And so the more I started to question and dive deeper, I realized that for me personally, I have a tendency to confuse the feeling of excitement from receiving money with the excitement of spending money. And so the feelings in my body, to me, feel the same. And so then I really started to look into, okay, what does it feel like? So what does buying power feel like? And what situations does that occur, you know? And so for me, I realized that when I'm on a financial high, when I have, you know, a good amount of money in savings, you know, I'm like just so very close to getting all the credit cards paid off, you know, and I have a constant good flow of money coming in, things seem to be you know, looking really great, I have a tendency to self-sabotage because I feel like I have buying power when I'm on that financial high. And so the goal for me, I realize, is financial security is to eliminate the roller coaster. And so I don't necessarily even want to be on a financial high necessarily. I want to be just on the, you know, a steady stream of flow. Because if you have the highs, you know, you have the opposite end of the spectrum, which is the lows. And so if you just stay at a steady stream of flow with money and slowly build up that capacity to experience that flow and make that average coming in, going out while preparing and creating that financial security more steady and gradually increase that, you know, that's the best way to go about it. And so for me, I realized, and maybe this is the case for you, that the buying power that I feel when I'm on a financial high makes me feel like I can go spend. And normally it tends to be excessive spending or habitual spending. And I really started diving in deeper. And again, this work doesn't take days and days and days. This all happened this morning in maybe a 30-minute setting. I really started to ask these questions and discover all these things about myself. And I feel like I'm not the only person that has these experiences. So that's why I feel very led to share, especially since we're on this abundance journey. So for me, so I'd feel like I had all this buying power and I'd go out and I would feel like I would try to rationalize myself. It's okay to buy. It's okay to purchase because I have it right now, because I can afford to. It's okay. And then I would get to the point of feeling guilty and I would start to worry, like, I didn't really need to buy that. I really shouldn't have bought that. And then I start to bring in the negative and the lack mentality of worrying, okay, am I going to be able to pay for this down the road? Like, maybe I feel like I have the buying power right now, but then I let the lack mentality creep in of, will I be able to make up for this later? And so then to cope with the worrying, I try to rationalize and tell myself, you know, stop beating yourself up. You should, you know, love yourself, because that's what we talk about. But that kind of stuff gets really warped when you use it in a way to cover up behavior that is not truly beneficial. I don't want to say it's bad, because you have to be really careful with your good and bad labels. But I would say that spending money because I feel like I have the buying power because I'm on a financial high is not very beneficial for me in the long run. And it's a pattern. It's a habit. I see it. But I've never understood how to break it, how to stop the cycle. And so once I started to work through the rationale, I try to tell myself it's okay, and that money is all circulation, and, you know, I'm just adding to the economy, and, you know, all the rationale behind what I'm doing, I started to realize, what am I actually feeling in that exact moment? And so I went out of my head and actually felt into my body. What does it feel like? And I can feel the compression and the contracting and the guilt when I make purchases that are not expansive and not for my highest good. And so maybe that's something that you can start to do. Again, it takes time to really tap into your body and pay attention to your body and what it's trying to tell you, because it can tell you so much if you let it. But then when I realize when I make purchases that are beneficial, that can feel expansive and it feels light and it doesn't have the guilt, it doesn't come with the worry, you know, it feels completely different. And so that's how I can realize, okay, do I really need to buy this thing? Am I buying because I feel like I need to prove to myself that I have this buying power, or am I purchasing because it really feels good and expansive? And so you really want to dive in, you know, what does your spending feel like? physically inside your body. You can physically feel, I know for me, if I'm going to check out and I'm debating and I'm rationalizing all the way up to check out and pay for the item, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good in my body. It doesn't feel good in my mind. And so that right there should be my trigger that I've, again, just realized this morning that says, just walk away. Just walk away from it. Step away from the situation. If you still feel the need to go back and buy that particular thing later, you certainly can. But again, if you get back to that point and you feel the tightness, you feel the compression, then just stop. So, you know, it's really looking at, are you purchasing out of necessity or are you purchasing out of convenience? Because when you're purchasing out of necessity and you know it's something you really need, it feels completely different than when you are purchasing out of convenience. And so another thing that came up for me with some recent purchases is giving and how overgiving can actually be selfish if it's used to control or contribute to your pain level and your money level. So giving is not always the answer. So that's so the first thing that I really want you to take away is when you're making purchases, how does it feel? Does it feel expansive? Does it feel good? Does it feel right? Or does it feel contractive? Do you have the worry? Do you have the lack mentality? Do you have it tinged with the guilt? Because we all go through the ups and downs. And so it's being very clear about, you know, how you want to spend your money in the long term, and then how does it feel while you're in individual purchases. And that's really what's going to break the cycle for you and give you the power over the spending and really empower you to feel like you can make better choices, really empowered choices, and that you're not just a slave to spending and to looking for something to buy, to entertain yourself, you know, and really diving in deep behind what is it, why do I feel the need to spend? Why do I feel the need to go shopping when there's nothing I need? Is it just a pastime? Is it, you know, because I feel like, again, for me, I feel like I have to express my buying power, which is really ridiculous because I can always just not buy, and that feels, for me, a whole lot better. It feels better to me in my body and emotionally in the long term to not make a purchase versus just doing it just to do it, to try to prove something to myself, you know, all the little games that we play with our ego. And so when it comes to gifting, what's the energy behind the giving? So you have how you spend money, but then there's more to spending money because sometimes we'll say, oh, well, I'm buying something for somebody, so that makes it okay. And so that's why I really want to talk now about giving. So when you get to that point, what's the energy behind the giving? What's the energy that's put into the purchase? Because that same energy that you put into the purchase is really what you're going to give that person on an energetic level. So if let's say you want to get something for somebody. Is it, again, is it out of necessity or because you really want to do it? Like, do you feel like you have to because it's a birthday or it's Christmas or, you know, there's, you know, the person standing on the street asking for money or the little girls on the corner selling Girl Scout cookies? You know, why are you purchasing? Why are you giving? And are you doing it out of guilt? Because that energy, that guilty energy that you put into purchasing, that energy is reflected back in your bank account, back on yourself, and it's ultimately reflected in the person that's receiving the gift. So if you're just buying something, even if you can't afford it because it's a birthday party, and that doesn't feel good to you, if you go and give that gift to that person, you know, ultimately you're giving them that same energy also, and that's just not really very kind. So, you know, try not to do that. Be honest with yourself. If you can't afford to purchase something for somebody, even though it's a birthday or Christmas or whatever, you have alternatives. You know, you can hand make something, you can make them a prayer. You can, you know, there's just so many things, especially crafty now, that you can do that are relatively inexpensive and are going to mean more because you can put care and love into it versus quickly buying without thought or buying out of guilt or feeling like you have to buy. That's going to really make a difference. Again, it's the energy behind what are you spending. And so that also can go into giving can be selfish if you feel like you have to give to somebody to get to make them happy so that you can feel happy. So if you're being dependent upon somebody else feeling happy, you know, then you're purchasing and gifting for a selfish reason. You're gifting because you want that reaction out of them. And it's really not fair or kind to manipulate other people's feelings in that manner to feel like, oh, well, I'm going to make this person happy by buying this for them. But are you doing it because you generally want to and you don't care whether they like the item or not? So when you can get to a point where you are detached from how that person is going to respond to that gift, that's when you know that you're really purchasing a gift for a right reason. So example, let's say you see something in the store and you feel this need within you to buy something. And so you decide to tell yourself, well, I'll buy a gift because that makes the spending okay, because it's not for me, it's for somebody else. Again, it's that whole self-sacrificing thing that's just really not healthy for anybody. So it's that self-sacrificing mode that sometimes we go into. So I'm going to spend this money because I feel the need to spend the money, but it's not going to be on me, so that makes it okay. Like, that's you rationalizing with yourself. So you should really just stop that. But let's say you buy the thing. Okay, now that you put all that energy and that excuse on that person, you've also then in turn put an expectation on that person to like the gift because you got it for them, because you had to spend money. So, you know, it's not about you. You're trying to make it about them. Therefore, you're putting the expectation on them that they will like this gift. So if you go and give them the gift, you won't feel happy and you won't feel like you were okay to make that purchase until you see the happiness in the other person. And that's really codependency upon other people's feelings. For you to feel good, other people have to feel good. That's a codependency, and that's something you want to look at because it's really not healthy. You know, so what happens if you give that to that person and they're like, oh, thanks, and they're not really excited about it? You don't get the feeling and the emotion out of them that you were expecting. Well, then everything for you just goes downhill because you spent the money you shouldn't have spent, and you rationalize it by saying that you're going to give this gift to a person to make them happy, and then they're not happy. So they really didn't care. And then you feel bad inside because you knew you shouldn't have spent the money, and now they're not even happy, and you're not happy. So you put all that expectation on them because you need them to be happy to feel good about yourself. So if you just eliminate that whole issue at the root of why do you feel the need to spend money, don't rationalize it and put that expectation on somebody else, you know, that's going to give you power and control over your spending habits and over your money and your finances, because you can release yourself from that kind of buying, just like you can release yourself from giving out of guilt, whether it's, you know, again, to the person on the corner or the person selling Girl Scout cookies. Now, on the flip side to that is, you know, purchasing because you really want to. You know, if you see something that, you know, makes you think of somebody, you have enough money to comfortably purchase a gift for somebody. It feels expansive when you purchase it, not constrictive, not filled with worry, not filled with rationalizations, just filled with, it's expanding, it feels good, it makes me feel good already without even getting a response or reaction from somebody else. It just makes you feel good. And you really don't care about their reaction. You just give because you want to give. That's the kind of, that's the buying power. That is true buying power. When you know that you can comfortably purchase something just because it makes you feel good to give to another person. It makes you feel expansive. And then you're not putting so much expectation on that other person. They can either like it or not like it, and you're detached from their response because you've already done something that makes you feel good and makes you feel expansive. And so if you feel like you want to give to somebody, if you feel like you want to donate to an organization, or you feel like you want to tithe because it makes you feel good and it makes you feel expansive, that's what matters. It's not about what you should be doing, or about feeling guilty. And so it goes the same way with tithing. If you can't tithe from a place of feeling expansive and feeling good about giving, then don't tithe, because the energy that you're going to put into that tithe will be one of lack mentality. It'll be one of fear and worry. Can I pay my bills if I give this money out? The feeling of guilt if you don't tithe, the feeling of I should do this because it's quote-unquote the right thing to do, that kind of tithing is really negative. It has so much negative energy attached to it. And so your tithe really is probably very much so unwanted by, you know, religious organizations that are truly spiritual and in touch. They wouldn't want you to sacrifice and put your body and your emotions through all that just to give them money. It should always feel good. It should feel light. It should feel expansive when you want to tithe. So it shouldn't be out of guilt. It shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be that you have to make excuses for yourself. Well, I'm not going to tithe right now because I really can't afford to, and God knows that that's okay. Well, you know, that's making excuses for why you're not going to do something. If you're not going to do something, don't make an excuse. You own it. You own the fact that you know right now you're not financially able to give that gift in good faith and in good trust that it's going to be returned, and that you're not able to give it lightheartedly and in an expansive, freeing feeling and happiness that goes along with that, you know, and with a grateful and thankful heart. If you know you can't do that, then own it and don't do it. And let go of any kind of guilt attached to that. And so one example I have to give, I, of course, love my parents, and I love my dad so, so very much, to the moon and back. But I remember one night we were having a conversation, and I was telling him that, you know, I get my spiritual fulfillment from Agape Spiritual Center, and they're located in Los Angeles, California. But that is where I just get so filled up and I get so expansive. I mean, it's literally so close to tears right now, because that's where I get my fulfillment. That's where I feel good. That's where I feel God. That's where I feel the spirit move. And it just lights me up and keeps me going. I can have the most horrible day ever and go listen to one of their live streams, and I feel instantly better, and I know everything's going to be okay, that I am supported and that I am loved. And so I was telling him that that's where I tithe. And I did it joyfully. And I did it because it made me feel good. And I did it because I had complete trust and faith in God and the universe that everything was going to be okay, that I could willingly and freely give that money. And I remember him saying, no, you don't tithe that way. You tithe within your community. That money's supposed to stay in your community. And that really set me back. And it really made me question, and I just quit tithing altogether, because there's nowhere in my personal community where I live that I get that filled up. There's just nowhere here. And so I'm not just going to go give money somewhere just to give money. It's not going to be coming from the right place. For me, it has to come from the right place. And so I just quit tithing altogether. And that's just a great example of how we can let others' beliefs about money and what we should be doing really affect us. And it affects us on such a deep soul level that it takes a while for us to even understand that that shift has happened and to start to undo the effects of that. And some of this kind of stuff goes way, way back, like in your childhood. That's why you should always go back and look at your beliefs and where did they stem, where did they come from? Because you have to do what feels good for you. You have to do where your heart can reconcile with itself and with your creator. And even the people that you love so very truly and deeply, they're not always right. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you love them any less. It just means that you can accept them for who they are and what they believe, but know that you can be who you are and you can believe what you want to believe. Because ultimately, we're all one. We have one creator. This is my belief. We have one creator. We're all connected. You know, we're all on this planet together. We're all in this universe together. So it doesn't matter if I'm giving in Los Angeles or I'm giving right here in North Carolina where I live. It doesn't matter. We're all one. As long as you know that you feel good about where that money is going, how that money is being spent, and you can joyfully give it, joyfully. You know, you're excited to give that money and you're grateful to give that money because that means something to you on a deep soul level. You know, nobody can tell you that's wrong. And you shouldn't let people do that. So that's an example of really tithing and giving from a place of joy and gratitude and expansion versus guilt and all the other, you know, negative, compressive, you know, it just pay attention to how your body feels. It feels tight in your chest. It just doesn't feel good. You know, you have that lack mentality that starts to creep in and, you know, all those nasty feelings inside your body that just aren't good. And that's kind of stuff that creates health problems. I mean, I'm telling you from experience, you know, that's how you get sick. And so moving on from that, let's see, I'm trying to find out where I am in my notes because I have so much to cover. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, don't get mad at yourself for wanting to feel like you need to spend. You have to accept that part of yourself and really dig deep, like I've been sharing, and that's how you can really start to change things. And so start to look at like, what do you believe about money? Like, you know, what part of you, like with the whole tithing thing, how what people say and do affects you? Like, are there like times in your life, in your past, where maybe people have said that you don't deserve something or you don't fit in with that group because you don't have enough money or your family doesn't come from that place? I remember one time we had some friends who I felt like were just so rich. My parents had these friends, and I was hanging out with their kid, and I said, I just randomly said, oh, you guys are so rich. And he looked at me and he was like, my family's not rich. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You got a lot more money than my family, which in my opinion makes you rich. But in his opinion, it didn't make him rich. So not only was that a completely embarrassing situation for me looking back, which I, you know, let go of now, but it's a great example, like, of the things that you pick up along the way, you know, that because we don't have X, Y, Z, you know, we're not rich. You know, what does that really mean? And how does that stick with you? And why does that stick with you? You know, and letting all that go and letting go of the, you know, the we can't afford that and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, like, if you're out and about, let's say you have a family of kids and your kids want something, don't say, I can't afford that, because that sticks with you. I heard that a couple times. We can't afford that. That kind of stuff sticks with you. Instead, say something like, you know, that's not really the best choice for our money right now. You know, it doesn't mean you can't get it later. It doesn't mean it can't be a goal. It doesn't mean you can't turn it into something that they can work towards, go through chores or different ways to save money, and a great opportunity to show them the value of money and really teach them great lessons. But don't say, we can't afford that. I mean, that's a negative, that's a black mentality that not only sticks with you and sets you back, but it sticks within your kids' brains, and that's going to set them back. I've got so much more I want to talk about, and I don't have the time because I have a minute left. So I guess I will pick up next week with more about what does the financial security look like, you know, how to gratefully pay your bills and, you know, the energy of money, how energy works, how the money energy works, how money moves on an energetic level. But those are a lot of things I really wanted to share. I got through some of the really good stuff that, you know, I wanted to share that I experienced this morning. And so now I have lots more to talk about next week. So I hope that you'll come back and join me for the rest of the money energy, because it just has to be a part two. I just don't have enough time to get through it all. And it's so much good info. So I hope that's enlightened you and brought you some good insights and stuff that you can think about and journal on. And I will talk to you next week. Have a great night, everyone. Thank you.